And they had to understand that their spending has a real effect on our everyday lives. And for them to actually see the numbers and to look at the situation. And what I said is, look, this isn't about me being dad and you guys being the kids. I want you to be children, but I also want you to understand that we are a family here and we are a group that do this together. So we have to have input and discussions on how we as a family want to spend our time. Do we want to go on a vacation here and there? Do you want to keep participating in your club sports? Do you want to get new shoes every once in a while? Or do you need 50 pairs because they're the new coolest thing? We all walk this long winding road.
Just remember that life is life. All right, gentlemen. Well, as you know, I'm out in the community. I present to students all the time. I was recently at a high school and I presented to a bunch of high schoolers, four different classrooms full of high school students. And one thing that caught me by surprise is how many seniors, they're about to go off to college, have no clue how much their parents spend on groceries, eating out, or really just any expense. And some of them are out there spending their parents' money, but they have no clue how much of it they're spending. So that kind of brought me into the idea of having this conversation. As you guys have older kids, I want to try and avoid getting to that when my kids are older. What do you guys do with your kids? What kind of conversations do you have on money?
Well, Phil, I think we should let Chase start on this one because he has a pretty funny story.
this is a hot topic
you got
for
into
me
it with,
right now.
With your lovely, lovely little ones.
I did. We had a little bit of a come to Jesus moment in the last couple of weeks. And I'm glad you mentioned this, Phil, because this is something that I get and we get asked quite a bit. In fact, I was on a podcast with the United Way San Diego just the other day, and that was one of the major topics. And what I believe more than anything is being honest with them and helping bring them into family decisions and having a discussion about money. But I should say, and it's great that I have all these philosophies, but you have to follow through with them. And I, the other day, was doing some upkeep. I was looking at my bank statements. I was looking at my credit card statements, and knowing that my credit card bill was going to be a little bit larger this next go round, because it's been a very busy volleyball couple weeks. Last 6 weeks, I've been in three different cities, flying every single city.
That's a whole other topic, Chase.
That is a whole other topic. It is. But why I was doing that, I realized that I'm not being sufficient enough in that. I'm going down these and I'm looking to see these like Uber Eats, DoorDash. And I'm looking at the times of day and I'm going, oh my God, my kids are ordering food and going out to lunch like 3 or 4 days a week.
At school.
Because they don't necessarily, yes, they are having it delivered to school.
Where
does the delivery come to, Chase?
Well, to the front gate. Apparently this happens quite a bit. I was irate. I started adding all this stuff up just from the last month and a half. And it was well over $600 between my two teenagers, my eighth grader and my sophomore. And they are, by the way, at a very nice school that has incredible lunches. But they're like, it's gross pork or something. So I want something.
It's not Chipotle, Chase. It's not Chipotle
shit.
Or Jersey Mike's or something
taco
good.
Taco stand.
Oh, well, so my fault, I guess, because they put my credit card on their Apple Pay. So like if they're with friends or they're getting somebody to bring them home, I don't want somebody who is taking my kid and they decide to stop for dinner to pay for my kid for dinner, right? Even though, you know, Brian, you and I do this a lot. Right. We'll pay for each other. Not a big deal. That being said, it has become abundantly easy for my kids to just use this technology.
Oh, and they're probably buying their friends they food too, Chase. They're probably like the best kids on campus.
Oh, without question. Especially my daughter, who's the most giving person I know, at her father's expense. So we had a real, like, I mean, I stopped the credit card. I took it off their phones. I went back and they've had their own bank accounts for years. Like, they know how to do this. They are very aware of what is in their bank accounts. But before, we had never activated their actual debit cards. And why I forgot to do that, I think they were pretty young when we opened up the account. And obviously, I've been through a lot with Carrie and passing away, all that stuff. So I just, it's one of those things that I didn't get to. And well, this time I got to it. And I got to it because I was freaking pissed. And I went over to B of A and I sat down and I said, I want to order this in their name. And we got their cards back and made them go in and then sign up for online banking.
Oh, good. So
they can
with you.
Get into it so without seeing in my account.
Good for you, Chase. I'm proud.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I was preaching the other day that, you know, it's important. And I have done this. I firmly believe that personal finance, money, introduction is purely being informed. It's purely understanding what is coming in, what obligations we have going out. And at a certain age, I have brought my kids to be aware of the household as we are. We're a family. The household has to understand there's one income for this household. And there is also one bank account, basically, that is paying for all of these things that these kids and we have to do to survive and to do the things that they want to do.
Were they floored? You know, because I think when you just order here and there, and then all of a sudden, as it accumulates, were they floored when you told them the dollar amount that was spent?
The total.
Yes. Yes. The look on their face was honestly horror. Clay was looking down at the ground. Like, because he was the main culprit. You know, he's, and, you know, they're not even supposed to leave campus. So if anybody on campus hears this, and my son has taken off and walked out to go over to the Pizza on Pearl and the taco shop relatively regularly. So just a shout out, keep my kid on campus, please. It's costing me a fortune.
You know, and when I finished the presentation at the high school last week, I did have for the last class, one of the students, because it was leading into their lunch, was just jumped on their phone. And she had that moment where she realized, like, wow, I go to Starbucks a lot. And and the teacher walked over and she's like, that's what we want, right? And I was like, yeah, it's just created some awareness. And whether or not that student, assuming it's their parents' money, continues that trend or not, at least now they're aware. So I think, you know, with you making them aware goes a long way. A lot of times, even when we talk to adults, sometimes when there's that moment where you realize, whoa, how much did I really spend at whatever?
Yes, but it's still fleeting. Like, it's a shock for a second. And maybe even the evening where they're feeling guilty and they're understanding how much it is. But then that urge that they get when they're at school because they've been doing it.
It's a habit. Yeah.
They'll, you know, out of sight, out of mind, they're doing it anyway. And they'll deal with the repercussions later. The fact is now, though, that's not available to them. If they're going to make this decision is going to be made coming from their individual bank accounts.
Yeah, they're not, yeah, they won't spend,
which only have so much money in it.
Once it's their money, Chase. Once it's their money.
I hope that's the case. Look, and there's even, it's even a bigger deal. And I spoke about this, you know, I think we've talked about and documented very well on this podcast, my situation with Carrie passing. And part of that situation is, and I had to explain it to especially my daughter. I think Clay on the surface really kind of understood. He was a little bit older about the entire scope of this. It wasn't just the emotional loss, but there was a whole family dynamic that was lost. Not only that they lost their mother, but from a professional standpoint, we lost more than half of our household income. And so the type of life that these kids were accustomed to, that Carrie and I built for us, for them, for our future, for how we currently do business, so to speak. And Phil, we do talk about this all the time. You should treat your personal finances, your family finances, like it's a business, because the goal of a business is to make money, to make a profit. And if you are working in the deficit every month, that business is not going to last. You should take that on with a family.
Half the income, as you just mentioned, but you also, Carrie was very organized, very, very on top of the finances and very good at, also, I mean, you are, of course, with being an expert, but she was also
even though I do this for a living.
She was definitely on top of that. And right.
She's a type A personality. So she was on top of that stuff. It doesn't come naturally for me. Yeah. I have to work at it. And that's my important. I had to finally, especially for my daughter, when it comes to all the sports she plays, I don't even want to get into the amount of girl birthday parties that she's been invited to and the amount that she spends on these presents, because again, a very giving girl and very thoughtful and would like to give every single girlfriend she has the most wonderful gifts.
Giving she is when it's her
money. I don't have $2,000 budget for girls' birthday parties.
Okay. So Chase, let me ask you, breakthrough? So what was the action plan? So obviously you took them into the bank. You revealed how much they were spending. So what is the action plan now going forward? How are we going through this?
So the other part that I did was that I opened up the books and I basically said, look here, guys, this is the situation. And I showed them bank statements and her mom's old. I can get into all her old paychecks. And I showed them what used to come in and then how much the mortgage is. And I pulled up all of our biggest expenses. But then I also now pulled up, for instance, my daughter is a Starbucks fiend. Sorry to keep throwing Starbucks.
Oh, they're so smart. They have nailed our kids.
She spent in the last 2 months well over $500 at Starbucks. Just her, because Clay and I don't eat there or drink there. Clay gets water. I don't ever eat. He might occasionally get a breakfast sandwich. This is all my daughter. And I had to show them that, look, this is the money that has to go out every month. And then now that your mom's money's not there, this is how much I bring in. So I have it set up because of the way her mom and I were prepared that my mortgage gets paid in a certain way. We don't live off that, off of my income now, but we still have all these expenses that we do live off of my income. And they had to understand that their spending has a real effect on our everyday lives. And for them to actually see the numbers and to look at the situation. And what I said is, look, this isn't about me being dad and you guys being the kids. I want you to be children, but I also want you to understand that we are a family here and we are a group that do this together. So we have to have input and discussions on how we as a family want to spend our time. Do we want to go on a vacation here and there? Do you want to keep participating in your club sports? Do you want to get new shoes every once in a while, or do you need 50 pairs because they're the new coolest thing? These are decisions that we need to make. I had for them to make informed decisions. They had to be aware of the situation.
Now they have some.
And I truly believe that if you give your kids ownership, if you let them begin to understand that there are implications on how we spend this money as a family and help them decide in this situation, they're going to learn these skills going forward when it comes to when they're on their own. And when they start to have a family,
I think that there's a balance, because obviously first things out of my kid's mouth when I say something like that is like, are we broke? Are we broke? And I think you worded it really well. What I've been telling my daughters is we are not broke. We're actually all of us. If you look around what you have in your life, you are compared to the world, we are doing really, really well, right? So I go, it's the matter of where we choose to allocate our money. Bryn for spring break wanted to go to Hawaii. She goes, well, all my friends, I got these friends going here and there. I go, Bryn, we do not have the money for spring break to go to Hawaii. Are we broke, Dad? No, we are not broke. But let me tell you, if you didn't play these sports, if you didn't do this shopping, if we didn't have this house or this thing, I go, we could go on vacations 5-6 a year, you know, but it's what we choose to do with our money. So I said, if you want to make changes as a family and we can cut certain things out to move that money towards trips, we can do it. You know, so, you know, I think that, Phil, I know tying into your original question, you know, I agree with Chase. It's definitely sharing with them. You know, obviously you don't want them to be panicked, right? You don't want them to think that, you know, oh my God, no. are we going to, you know, not be able to afford the house? But you, I think it's very important to have an awareness, but then also let them know how much money is going out. And now I do the same now, Chase. It's like, all right, Brent, I just ordered your soccer uniform, $550. That would have been your ticket to Hawaii, by the way. So, you know, so, I, you know, and same with them, you know, it's like showing them they love to shop. They love, you know, they're getting older now, right? So they love to spend their money on all these things, but it's like, you know, now you have to make personal choices on what you want to spend your money on.
Well, Chase, I think.
Yeah, it's a very personal
thing. I think,
thing.
Chase, you also now have them, now they have some skin in the game because now their money's at play. Now they have to make those decisions that are going to affect their finances, not just you as a family, but their own personal ones as well. And maybe, you know, everyone's personality is going to be different. Maybe that triggers them to say, maybe I'll just eat whatever's available as opposed to that, you know, California burrito or whatever the case may be.
I'll tell you, Phil, it's funny. So I will pat myself on the back on this one. Christine and I feel like the last maybe year or two, we've been doing a really good job because I was in the same boat that Chase just hit his ultimate tipping point, right? So we bought what we did is I bought these cards called Greenlight, and it's a they get their own little debit card. I've had it for many years now. And you know, so what my rule is at the end of the day is if I'm with you, I will buy it. If it's a birthday party of a good friend, I will buy it. You know, but my kids start getting into like, oh, I want to buy this kid's not even having a party and it's a friend of a friend that they want to buy presents for. So birthday parties, we will buy the present. If I'm with you, I will buy that Starbucks. If we're going to an early game together, if we're doing a family thing, I'll buy that. But I go, if I am not with you and you decide that you want – because, you know, the kids are going all out and about after school, which is great, right? They're being social. They go to Target. They go to Starbucks. Mm-hmm. I go, I'm not buying those. So our kids get $25 a week allowance if they do – a lot of times they don't even get paid because they don't execute. They don't do the work.
But they don't execute their duties.
Which is, to Chase's point, I'll show them on Greenlight. It'll also track, just like any credit card, but it'll track everything they spend, all this stuff. And it shows them how much they have in spending and savings. But I go, if you make $25 a week and you're spending $19 at Starbucks a week, you know, you're giving away 90% of your income, 80% of your income, for waste. So it's really sunk in. Actually, Bryn the other day told me, you know, because she went from having a ton of money, but now she's, you know, 13 and having fun, you know, so she's starting to spend so much money and her account went all the way to almost zero. And then they're asking me for money. I go, no, you know. So I think that's what I've been doing. It's been really good. And now they're understanding like, man, do I really want that Chipotle? Do I really, you know, need that Starbucks? Because it's so expensive now. And they don't make a ton of money, right? So, you know, that awareness is very helpful. Life is life.
Life is life. And my kids have honestly, and I don't know when the time is, but at this point, they literally are like, well, Dad, this summer we can, you know, well, Avery's not old enough yet, but Clay is old enough. He can get a job. He could go work at a Chick-fil-A or a Board and Brew or a In-N-Out or whatever it might be, and can in the grand old state of California where
they make
at these restaurants these kids make $20 an hour, which is which
well,
is
that's why your burger and your, burrito cost so much freaking money,
right?
I mean, hey kids, don't you know, go to college so you can make a living. When you can make a pretty decent amount just working at your local Chick-fil-A. But that being said, it is what it is. And if they have the time, at least they're very aware of this is something I want to do because I do want my own money. Clay is at a point now where, look, not every kid, I don't think it's the birthright of a child to get a car when they turn 16. But at this point for me and for him to grow up and for the commute that he's going to have to school, for me, it is worth 10, every 10X, penny yes. to have so him have this thing. But that being said, I will pay for the gas for him to get to school and back. But if he wants to go somewhere else, he's going to have to figure out. And I know exactly how he'll do a tank every week and a half to go back and forth. Cause I've already
clocked it.
I've studied that already. I know what it, I know exactly how much that car uses. So anything other than the once every week and a half or so, then the gas is on him and he's going to have to figure that out. And I've been told by so many people who have gotten kids, their license, they said, I wish I would have had my kid pay part of the actual insurance. So they understood what it actually costs us for them to drive that car outside of the car maintenance, outside of the gas, everything else that goes into it, to make them understand that it does matter how you drive. It does matter that if you get a ticket because you decide that you are really excited about driving fast, how much your insurance goes up, you won't quite drive. You might make better decisions. So I've already shown Clay just the other day. I'm like, look at what this is going to cost when you get your license. He goes, I'm like, so, you know, I haven't decided whether I'm doing that or not. I don't know if that's necessarily fair to him, but aware, I want them to be aware.
I agree.
And to understand that this isn't just the cliche, you know, a lot of parents use it. It doesn't fall out of, you know, money doesn't fall out of trees. Okay. But it comes from somewhere. So we need to explain to them where it comes from. And that's a big part of it for me. And it seems to have helped so far, but again, it's like anything else. I got to keep hammering it home. So I've got to be good at walking the walk. I've got to be good at keeping it up. And
I think the most important thing I've noticed is when they get to and it's so great. Like I said, this is a little plug for this green light card. I love it. It's so transparent. It shows everything. I can move money in. I can move it out. I could pay automatic allowances. I could, you could actually chase on this card. You can literally just give money just for gas. Like you can literally put it into categories. So it's pretty cool. It's transparent and the kids get to see their history, you know, and all that stuff. So I really love it. You know, but the key is, Chase, is what's going to happen. And I had to deal with this is when they spend all their money and then they beg and they say, dad, I'll work. I'll just give me this $10 and then I'll do it over the weekend. And that's when you have to say no, because as an adult, if you do not have the money, you cannot go do it. Right. So, you know, and so it teaches them to be saving. And so, and I don't let them move money out of their savings. So like they can't access their savings.
Unfortunately, Brian, they can. Unfortunately, adults, we can't. Oh, we can spend money we don't have.
Yes.
And we can put it on a credit card. But so do we want them, essentially what they're doing to you is an IOU. And what they're doing is they're basically taking out credit.
No.
And is that worth it to them? Because you and I are not charging them interest.
Here's a kicker, Chase.
But if when they go get that real credit card, it's going to cost them.
So cool. I control the interest rate. A little opposite of what you're saying to me, but I know what you're saying. However, in their savings, I give them an incredible, very generous interest rate because I want them to. So every month it'll break it down and it'll show them like $8. I go, look, little Riley, my 9-year-old has the most money, by the way, because she doesn't spend.
Can't spend it.
And it's great because I give the other two a little bit. I show them how much money each one of them have, just a little like, hey, your little sister's got the most money. What's going on here? But I give them very generous interest rates on their savings to teach them.
That's great.
Yes.
So they can see how compound interest works.
All of a sudden it's like, Riley made 12 extra bucks. And you can control that interest rate. You can make it exactly.
While she sleeps, that's by the way, the it sat so, there and gained money.
But yeah, I found that tool is really good. That's what I use for the kids. And
Greenlight is a fantastic service. I love it. I don't know why I didn't do it. Except for the fact that our bank accounts work exactly the same, except their bank accounts are their real bank accounts and they're just connected to mine or connected so I can see them. But like when my kids go online banking, they don't see my account, the other account and all that stuff. But, you know, at a certain point, that is they're going to have to navigate these things on their own. And again, it's decision making. My another explanation is my son and I have been going round and round because his PlayStation that he loves so much, the HDMI plug is broken, and it's because how many times he has unplugged and plugged that thing back in, taking it to his friend's house, all that stuff. Now it's acting up and he wants a new one. And by the way, prices have not gone down on the PlayStation 5. They are still $499. And no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But you know, now he's in the real situation of like, I can't play much anymore. Like it sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I said, save your money. He's like, Dad, that's a lot of money. I said, yeah, it is for me too, exactly. By the way. So, you know, this is something, look here, your birthday's coming up. Okay. He's like, okay, well, why don't I pay for half of it and you pay for half of it for my birthday? I'm like, you realize that a $250 birthday present is a significant birthday present. You know, he's like, well, you know, and in fairness, Brian, we live in a community where there are some pretty wealthy families, right? We live in a pretty wealthy area. My kids go to school where it's one percenters. And you're same thing. You're like Bryn was saying, my friends are going to Hawaii. They're going here. They're going there. My friends are taking, my kids' friends are taking private jets to Switzerland to go skiing for a week. You know, and we are not. So it has been something that, you know, it's a really difficult thing to navigate when what reality is versus what they see every day.
Yep.
And what they don't see every day is going downtown and seeing what most of American homes look like, most American neighborhoods. They don't understand that even though they may not be one percenters where they live, we are extraordinarily, extraordinarily blessed, lucky that we are where we are, and very blessed at where we are and the life that their mom and I created for ourselves. Are we the creators of Google? No. But do we have a very nice life? Yes, we do. And we should be thankful for that and be appreciative of what we do have. And for the most part, I believe they are. But again, when you see a certain way of life on the periphery, it's hard not to say, well, why don't I have
that? And we do. Yeah.
And I tell them it's a great thing to work to.
Yeah. That's psychology. We all do. In a bubble, and you just see certain things every day. It's just natural that even, like I said, as old people like us, like we even fall into that trap. You know, imagine being a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old. Yes. You know, Phil's got the young ones. Like, I mean, if that's all you see, you know, that's your definition of reality, right? So it's good to expose. That's why I think traveling's so important. You know, going off on a little tangent here, but you know, just seeing how other people live in different cultures and. To show that you are very blessed, you know. But yeah, it's important to educate them because I have to deal with the same stuff, right? Like they have some friends that do really, really, really well, and they get some great trips out of it, which is amazing. And enjoy it and appreciate it and be blessed by it and use it to set your goals that when you become an earner that, you know, you can go chase that and you can go get that too. So, you know, just exposing them, giving them the information, Chase, you know, and I think that's what we need to do and continue to do. And I think that's the answer. And then let them fall, let them fall.
What I was going to say. You know, that's the big one. You got to let them fail sometimes.
Yes. And we don't give in. So when that account goes down to $4 and they need extra $5 to do something special, like a little lunch with their friends, you know, hey, you don't got it. And I'm not going to add that extra 10, $15 into your account. Go make your money and then it'll be there. So it's easier said than done as always, right? Correct. Like I've been hypocrite. You know, we try our best.
Of course.
So.
We're all hypocrites in that way. We do this for a living and we teach people. Does that mean that I'm not still human and I still impulse buy? Absolutely, I do. But I also am very aware of what I have and make a decision. There are a lot of things. I would love to introduce skiing to my kids. I would love my kids to learn how to snow ski. I grew up in the snow. I grew up in the mountains. I did it my whole life because I live there. But we live in San Diego. We're far away from it. And by the way, it's extraordinarily expensive. So I have to, as a father, decide what is it that I expose my kids to and what do I not at this point?
It goes back to where you choose.
You said earlier, Brian, I've told Avery, you want to go on vacation. You want to go on vacation. You can, you might have to give up one of your sports.
One thing that I always remind the parents in like the dad's court presentations that we do, Chase, or present to a bunch of dads, is sometimes people do lend money to their kids. They're like, hey, here's $10, but you'll have to give it back to me. When you let them borrow money, even if it's an insignificant amount to you, it might be $2 and change, make sure you take that money back.
Right.
Because then it sets the idea of borrowing money is easy, but paying it back is not, and it's not fun. So even if you don't need that $2.50 or that extra $10 that you put in their account, if you do give in and you do loan the money, to make sure that you always reclaim that money back and
yes,
let them know that now you're going to be short next week because you've already lost 10 of the dollars from next week this week.
And charge them charge them an extra buck.
Charge them interest. Yeah.
Give back 11 bucks.
Processing fee. Yeah.
No, I think I shared earlier, I had a breakthrough with Bryn. I mean, she literally told me the other day that, Dad, I'm going to stop spending money on Starbucks and Target because she wants to spend more money. She's into clothes. So she goes, I'm going to save more of that money for stuff that I really like. And I'm like, there you go. that's how you live your life. So she's now known that like that food stuff is just for her. And once again, some people, it's how you want to spend your money. I never judge. It's like whatever brings you joy, and you're spending. So, but
absolutely,
she knows that doesn't bring her as much joy as buying, clothes now. So she understands that she needs to save her money. So when she does go to the those types of stores, that she has enough money to bring her joy. So, money is tough, right? Money is always, it's what I love about what you guys do. I mean, you guys are doing so much for the community and for these kids. Like, I wish that, I think my parents did a pretty good job with it, but there's nothing in class, there's nothing in school. Nobody teaches you what interest rate is and what a credit card can do to you and how important it is to save for a rainy day. Like, that's, huge kudos to you both on what you guys do at the SCFLC because it's impacting people's lives, which is so important.
Well, I appreciate that, Brian. And again, it's life's not easy. It's difficult, and even for adults, it's just trying to teach these kids that there are implications for the decisions that they make, and that's what money is. Money is just decision making. On what you want to do, what it is that you want to accumulate, where it is you want to go. It's the same thing for us adults. We face these questions to ourselves every single day, and we do it for those in our family. And that's why when I say, hey, do we want to go out tonight? Because if we do go out to dinner tonight, just because you guys are used to going out on a Friday night, we will not go out on Friday night. You guys don't want to cook tonight because we're getting home late from practice. That's fine, except we are not going to add that to the expense. We are not going to go out this weekend when we would normally go do that. Yeah, let's touch on this too.
Like, it kills me to say no. Like, I let's talk about the psychological aspect for a father. Like, for me to not be able to do all those things for my kids kills me, right? I don't want to say it hurt. I don't know the word for it, but it. You wish you could do it all for. I wish I could have just put my kids on a plane and gone to Hawaii. I wish I could go to sweet steakhouses and every single weekend. But at this point, that's not reality. However, so being able to say no is a whole nother skill because you want to do so much for your kids. Like you want them to, if they want to get better at a sport or you want to be able to have that money that you can support them in whatever hobby, talents, whatever they want to do, you always want to do it. But they, so the aspect of saying no is just a whole nother element of a challenge because you have to explain to them why you can't, but at the same time, you go to bed at night going, fuck, hey, I want to, we want to provide as much as possible, right? So, and so I think that's just another one. And we all want more.
Of course, we all do.
Yeah, are we blessed? 100%. But dude, we all, you know, that's human nature. We're always going to strive for more. So, but I think it's the ability to say no, the ability to tell them why you're saying no, but also giving them hope that, hey, listen, like, you know, dad is still driving to make his company better, to make the, we're always trying to be better, right? You know, so living in the reality, but however, still holding on to hope and optimism. And then, hey, do learn from me, but then kick ass, be better than I was. And, you know, maybe you'll have that private jet or, you know, whatever your goals are in life. So, but yeah, the ability to say no is hard.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, it really is. It's super hard, especially Phil. I know when they're younger, I remember that more than ever. It was, you know, those little eyes and, you know, they're, you know, the big smiles and they want, it's much easier and they're less expensive, right. Less expensive than for what Brian and I are going through now. Their tastes.
Oh, my kids would love still, some just chicken nuggets.
Even at an early age, they've got to learn to hear the word no, but with a reason for no, instead of just being no. And I think that that's important, that our kids are smarter than we really think they are. I think they understand a lot.
Yeah, and more even my little ones, is especially like Barrington, he's 10, he's a fifth grader. They know math. You know, you could go into when we do go to out to eat and show them how much that was, and then maybe compare that to how much a Costco run is, or how much a trip into Aldi or Vons or whatever is. And then it's like, do you realize that was one meal? This is a week's worth of stuff. And the percentage that one meal took up, like what it could have been at a grocery store. And I think for him, that was a moment where he was like, wow, eating out is expensive, because we sat down, we ate it, it's gone. But that grocery, it could last days, and that lasts a lot longer.
It's not as much fun. The experience isn't as much fun sitting at your dinner table in your house. Is not nearly as much fun as it is to be out and about in a restaurant atmosphere where there's other people and, you know.
And with Barrington, I started getting to, he's 10. So I got to the point, he said, you know, I want this or the other thing. It's like, buddy, you're 10. You don't have, you're hungry. On the weekend, he was like, you know, what'd be real good is like a mac and cheese. You know, what'd be real good is if you just got up and made yourself a mac and cheese. You know, you're at the point where you could boil water and mix some stuff up in the pan. And he's like, well, I don't know that I know how. Like, then I will teach you this once. And then if you get hungry later, you know, just, yeah, we're going to have dinner. But if you're just feeling I just kind of want this, and I know there's some in the cupboard, or there are some easy things that you could go, you want a banana, go grab the banana. You know, you don't wait for me to go get you stuff. That's why the stuff is there. But if you want taco shop, the answer is probably going to be no. But now for him, yeah. I think just that realization of how much, compare one trip out to eat to a grocery trip or a Costco run or something like that. It was like, oh, that is a lot. And I think that helps with being able to say, no, we're just not going to go out to eat because T-ball practice went late. just get home.
I'm guilty of that too, by the way. I'm tired at the end of a day. You know, and these kids, we're getting them home from practices. Do I want to go cook? I really don't. And I'm trying to eat healthier. Yeah, I want my kids to eat healthier. I want, you know, it's all these things that, you know, that I explain. You want to be athletes. You want to be in peak condition. It really does matter what you put in your system. And by eating, I know that Chipotle for restaurants is more healthy. It can't be eaten like that every day. It just, and financially it's just,
yeah. Well, for me, I think it's just balance. I think it's an awareness. You also don't want your kid. I'm only speaking personally. I don't want my kids to freak out every time we go out to eat and I get a bill. You know, like I said, it's like our lives are good. We're okay.
Yes.
You know, but I think it's just the awareness of like, hey, that, you know, that dinner was $100 or, you know, it's like, that doesn't mean, once again, all I want to teach my kids is like, we love doing that stuff. I know, Chase, we do that together. Yeah. So, and that's part of our memories and our experiences. So I have no issue with that. I just want them to know when they want to do something different, you know, that's where we've chosen to allocate our funds, right? Like
that's the trade-off.
Yes, there's a trade-off. You know, like, you know, now if we didn't do that, which, you know, yep, it's fine, then we can literally start, you know, next spring break we can go to Hawaii, you know, because that money would accumulate very fast. And you'd be so I think it's just, for me, it's an awareness of what things cost. It's awareness that's just not coming out of nowhere. And then it's awareness of kind of where we're as a family and as them as individuals have chosen to allocate their money. And, you know, and their green, back to their green light card, right, they have spending that they can do whatever they want, whatever brings them joy. They have a savings that they can't touch. And that, you know, every time I give them an allowance, you know, a percentage goes into savings, a percentage, the bulk, you know, some goes in, or most of it goes to spending. And I don't judge them on where they go to the spending. And that's their spending money, just like an adult. Like, that's our fun money. That's our Vegas money. Let it rip. But, you know, that's where they choose to put it. But, you know, as Bryn just realized, you cannot have like five things you want to do with your money, right? Like, you can't love to shop, love to go eat out, love to go get to Starbucks, love to do all these things. And get your clothes. So, you know, so just like anything in life, you know, she's going to have to make decisions. And I think that's, for me, what I'm trying to do is just like, hey, it's your money, let it rip. But understand, you know, you only have X amount of it. And when it's gone, it's gone.
And you put the ball in their court.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Right.
Yeah. Easy, super easy to find Greenlight too. It's just greenlight.com. It's super easy to sign up for and get, and they get used to using the card and understanding, hopefully, that even when they're using a credit card for the first time in real life, they treat it like it's money that needs to be there. Because that's the biggest thing is, you know, that when that invoice comes around and you got to pay the credit card bill, that's, yep, painful. It sucks. But it's a really good tool to be able to use for many different benefits, and you're going to need to learn how to use it, but you got to learn that if you can't spend it unless there's cash.
Yeah, they also have stuff, my little plug for Greenlight here. But they also have stuff where you can invest. Like, they kind of do it, they really dumb it down and simplify it for kids. There's investing. There's also, which you guys I know very are cool, big into, there's also a giving tab. So they could pick kind of where they want to give. So it's like, you can, like, when somebody gets paid their allowance or whatever, you know, you could literally put it in these different buckets, and then you can control as the parent, you can control what buckets they can touch and not touch. And then, so if it's in the giving bucket, then they can literally, you know, they know that they have to give it. They can't spend that. So, yeah, I'm super, I think it's a really good, it kind of piggybacks what you guys do. I think it's a good tool to, you know, for them to see their history and where they're spending. And then you can even set goals, Chase. I think you mentioned earlier, like, if you want to buy, if you, yeah, want to buy that four, if you want to buy that $400, what'd you call it? The video game,
PlayStation.
You can literally create a goal. You can put PlayStation in there. And then, so when they get their allowance, you could put X amount towards the goal, and it'll tell you on a pie chart how close you are to
how close your goal. You are to it.
So it might say $400 and you have $100 and then that's great. And they can watch it, which is kind of cool too. And they can't spend that money either. You can, as an adult, always move it to out in and out for them if needed.
Well, by the way, there are many, many different types of budgeting softwares and apps and those kinds of things that are phenomenal for us adults too. We're teaching the kids to use this kind of stuff. It's a really good idea for us to do it. Most all of our banks, a lot of different financial institutions have phenomenal setting, budget setting, all those kinds of things now that make it very easy. It's just a matter of you having to do it. So this isn't just a kid thing. It's teaching them the right skills at a young age, which is important, but we as adults need to do it too. So that being said, on a good note, I think we're all in agreement. You know, you want to get your kids involved, but again, this is a very personal thing. I don't think there's a right or a wrong way. Everybody has their way of doing it, but it is a question that I get asked very often, and I believe that if you give kids the opportunity to put skin in the game, to have a say, to understand, that those kinds of decisions are going to carry over into their adult life. And that is an important skill to have, that somebody like myself, even though I was brought up in a, you know, upper middle class family, my parents just figured I knew this stuff. And I didn't really. And I got myself in a ton of credit card debt, and it took me a long time to pay it off until my early 30s. And even, you know, God bless my late wife, who she wanted to marry me anyway, even though I had about $18,000 in credit card debt at the time. So
you're lucky you're good looking. You're lucky.
You got to be honest about it. Well, anyway, it was important, but, you know, what are your thoughts? How have you done it? Did you teach your kids financials? Are you at a place where you have young kids and are trying to introduce them to money? Let us know, put it in the comments, like us, and you can find us and share us. This is everyday life. And as we say, life is life, and we'll see you guys next week.
We all walk this long, winding road. Just remember that life is life.
The information contained in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute as accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice.